Do you have problems in the United Kingdom with serial killers like we have here in the United States?
Tragically, we do. There was a terrible case over the last few years, a man they called the Yorkshire Ripper. And very often we find with these pathological serial killers, because they're nearly all psychopaths, that they seem to feel they are driven to it by some voice. They will say, some voice told me to do it. Or he, like Jack the Ripper, the Sutcliffe, the Yorkshire Ripper, felt, as Jack the Ripper had apparently done, that it was his divine mission to kill prostitutes. And the girls he attacked were all sex workers. And we do seem to find a connection between, shall we say, mental states, very strange mental states. There were those who would even go so far as to say that these serial killers were possessed by some evil force. And whatever we may think about demon possession, and that brings me to another case. I was called out recently to go down to Surrey, where the two friends of a mental patient who'd been in and out of hospital for some time were beginning to think that, as the psychiatrists hadn't been able to heal him, bring him back to normal, that perhaps he was possessed. So I performed an exorcism service on him, and I said, look, if you get any further trouble, call me. And he said, I feel so different and so much better. Now, we can look at that in two ways. Was it just that he had convinced himself, as part of the mental illness, that there was some extraneous dark force that was controlling him, and that when an ordained priest blessed him and exorcised that dark spirit, which he believed was controlling him, now, was that rather like these psychosomatic cures, where if you can convince the patient that he is well again, then he will come back to normal? Or was there really some strange dark force which, as a result of the prayers of exorcism, was driven from the man? Now, that was best part of 4 months ago, and his friends had promised to contact me if there was any relapse into the mental state that he'd had. But is it possible that such forces exist? And Jesus certainly believed in them, and he cast them out, and so did the early disciples. Or is it purely a psychiatric problem, and that if the patient can be led to believe that whatever the dark force he thought was there has now gone, then he will behave as a normal, happy human being again, just as if something evil had gone from him? It's one of those unsolved mysteries.
Sure is. And, you know, you just mentioned that you have performed exorcisms in your career.
Yeah.
Why do you think people get possessed? Why do these demons do what they do?
Well, let's assume, for the sake of following this argument, that there really are these, just as so many of us believe that there are benign forces, that there are angels, cherubs, and seraphs that can assist us and help us and protect us, so that at the lower end of the scale there are these mysterious dark forces. How do they get inside people? Well, I think that one of the great problems all human beings are faced with is coping with life. Now, it may be that a thing which stresses one good person doesn't stress another. If we look at all the phobias that our psychologists have discovered, one person can't bear to be in an enclosed space. Somebody else with the opposite kind of phobia can't bear to be outside without somewhere to hide in. Someone else has a fear of spiders. Another one can't bear to have a live wet fish in his hand in case it jumps. All kinds of things can cause an unreasonable fear. There's a fear of heights. There's a fear of darkness. Now, if we think of this, that all of us have, that 99% of us have, these irrational phobias about something which may be totally innocent in itself, but which just bugs us. It is when we have reached the point that we can't cope with something that it seems to invite, if these dark forces do exist, it seems to provide an opening for them to come in. Let's say the person who is fighting a fear of spiders, person who is fighting a fear of darkness, when they have used all the mental strength they have to contend with that irrational fear, it's then that they're at their weakest point. They don't seem to have, perhaps, any strength left to contend with some external entity that is just looking for a weakness. Let's take the analogy of a besieged city.
Okay.
And we say the army is outside, the city is ringed, the defenders are manning every point they can on the walls, and there's suddenly a weakness in the wall. Perhaps the engineers on the attacking army side have got underneath a section of the wall, have undermined it, and it's crumbled, and there's a space. And then the enemy army is through. Now, I'm suggesting, using that as a parallel, that when we are, as we say, I'm at my wit's end over something, and you get to that point where you think, I just don't know what to do about this. This is on top of me. It is then that part of the wall, so to speak, in the parallel, has fallen and the thing has got in. So how do we keep the wall intact? Well, I think we could look at a number of very good and positive things that we can use and we can do. The first thing is a totally trusting and loving relationship with a loving partner, with families, with friends, really good friends that you know are like Vikings. They will be with you to the death if the worst comes to the worst.
True, yeah.
And when you can be with someone like that, it helps you to, when you think, hey, I can't cope with this anymore, life's on top of me, and you turn to that loving partner. Well, tomorrow, which is the 7th here in UK calendar, Patricia and I will have been married for 53 years.
That's fantastic.